When I was just starting first grade, I became very ill. The pediatrician was puzzled what was causing my high temperature. I was sick, but had no discernible symptoms. After several days passed, and I wasn't getting any better, the doctor told my mom he had gone as far as he could. I would have to go to the hospital. My temperature rose and fluctuated between 105 and 107 degrees when I was admitted to Children's Hospital in Boston. Thankfully, I was able to tolerate such a high fever. Since my illness was still a mystery, I was put in isolation, which was very lonesome for a 7-year-old, since it meant I was all by myself. And to make it a bit scarier, when my mom and dad would be allowed to visit with me, they had to wear masks and gowns. After I was admitted, I became sicker, and the mystery of what was causing all this intensified for the doctors and my parents. A few days later, my younger sister came down with what was determined to be strep throat. The doctors were hoping that this was a clue to what my illness was. Sure enough, blood tests showed that I had a very rare form of strep. They called it streptococcus of the bloodstream. I was immediately given high doses of penicillin every 3 hours. Then the strep localized in my eye and my liver. The doctors warned my parents that I might not survive the night, since they expected my system to go into crisis mode. Now, back in those dark ages, parents were not allowed to spend the night with their child. So mom and dad came back into my room to kiss me before they had to leave. As they were leaving my room, I called them back, and I was told, I said, "Wait, Mommy and Daddy, I want to draw you a picture before you go." When Mom and Dad saw the picture, Mom told me later that she and Dad had a very hard time keeping a brave face on for my sake, but breaking down in sobs when they got into the hallway. Mom said she was clutching my drawing to her chest all during the long night of waiting and praying. And evidently the rector from our church came and sat with my mom and dad during that time. Mom said she didn't know what to make of my drawing. Was it a message of support and hope? Or was it a warning of what might yet be coming into being? Needless to say, I survived the crisis. Because I had the strep for so long, I developed rheumatic fever, but was finally released from the hospital. I vaguely remember making that drawing, but I have no idea what I chose, what I did. You see, it was in early January, not near Easter, so my Sunday school class would have just finished talking about the birth of Jesus. The reason I drew what I did when I did will always remain a family mystery. And the reason why I'm even sharing this incident with you now on this Good Friday is because of what I drew. I drew a big hill with 3 crosses on it, with the middle cross being the largest. The knowledge that I drew 3 crosses on a hill has always remained a personal puzzle to me. But as a child, it seemed to make me feel closer to Jesus, to feel connected to him. When I was 7, I didn't fully understand the horror of crucifixion. Now I do. As the Passion was being so beautifully portrayed this evening, and you heard the response of crucify him, crucify him, I have to ask myself, if I was a member of that crowd so long ago, would I have been a part of the group shouting crucify him, or would I have been a believer? While the cross has always been a connection for me, it is not my connection alone. None of us gets a free pass through life. Our lives can be filled with pain and difficulty that is nearly impossible for us to bear. There can be trouble that seems insurmountable. We can wallow in the depths of despair, loneliness, anxiousness, confusion, and fear. We suffer. We struggle to make sense out of life. We do not get the things we are hoping for. We lose people who are dear to us. But today, we are reminded that we need not go it alone. It does not matter who we are. It does not matter what we have done. It does not matter what other people think of us. It does not matter what we think of ourselves. It does not matter because today we can be renewed in Christ. In Jesus, God lived among us and with us. In Jesus, God continues to live among us and with us. God knows our aches and our pain. He knows our suffering and our anguish, our fear and anxiety. He knows our despair and despondency, anger, confusion, our grief. Our God has faced our death. Through it all, God in Christ overcame the pain and the struggle, the suffering, the anguish, the despair, the deep and abiding grief that can be a part of our lives. God overcame it all and said that life can be renewed and that we can live fully, that we can have hope now and forever. We need not be alone. Jesus unites his cross with our own and calls upon us to share in the suffering of others. This means we are to bear the burdens of one another, just as Christ has carried our burdens. That's one way we can show we've accepted Christ's precious gift. What does the cross mean to you? All kinds of things come to mind, I'm sure. But from the cross, Jesus calls out to you and me and assures us we are forgiven, that we will be with him in paradise. On the cross, as never before and never again, men and women saw the love of God.